Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call tonight. We're glad to have you live and welcome in here with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. With us, joining us from the great state of North Dakota, my fellow brother of a common faith, Brother Charlie. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Brother Buddy. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're going to get into, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into an interesting subject tonight, part two of the Dust of Life people. The dust of life in the Hebrew, neshama, meaning that those that are neshamad, or breath of life in the flesh, but have no life in the spirit. There is a difference. We're trying to make this point here for you. And we think that we'll get into some scriptures that will perhaps interest you on the subject of the breath of life people. Now, if you notice, in the series one of last night, we made a very substantial, groundbreaking, if not earth-shaking, revelation to you. That is, that Adam did not know Eve until he was out of the garden. In the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, it says that Adam knew Eve. So then, we understand by the process here, at the fifth chapter, he began to bring forth sons and daughters in his own likeness. So the transgression was in the garden, and Adam was involved in sexual relations, we believe, with Eve to bring forth the children after his own likeness in 5:1. So then, we understand that something happened in the garden, Brother Charlie. Deep in the spiritual, we believe it was a fifth dimensional operation, meaning that that Adam was in a spiritual environment in what we call the garden, and this we believe it's a code word for a dimension, and there was a fruitful harvest, and the Bible says it mentions in the book of Genesis, and ladies and gentlemen, the book of Genesis again is a very interesting word itself. The word Genesis means in the Hebrew comes from the Greek word meaning beginning. The word was the title to the book of the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation of the Old Testament. The Hebrew name for Genesis was Bereshit, in the beginning. So in the Bereshit Hebrew, or in the Greek word Genesis, is the beginning. And so then, the Bible is appropriately introducing itself as the first subject in the Bible of the beginning. Well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the Bible said, and the earth was without form. So then, we're getting over again into chapter 2. Now notice this, verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for Yahweh, God, Elohim, had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, notice this. This is after God rested, Brother Charlie. Man in Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So then, man was created in the image of God in Genesis 1:26. And then in 2:7, after he rested. Now, remember that he rested on the seventh day from all of his works, and there was not a man, according to verse 5, to till the ground. So
yes.
Now we gotta have a breath of life man here. We gotta have a flesh being. And this flesh man was taken from the dust of the earth. Now notice this here. And Yahweh, the Lord God, formed man of the dust. Again, 6083 Strong's number. of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, or neshama.
Yes.
So we're talking about a dust of life man in 2 and 7, and we're talking about a spiritual man in 1:26, or a man in the image of God. Now, John 4:24, Brother Charlie, says exactly that God is a spirit. And a spirit does not have flesh and bone, according to Luke 24, verse 47. So then, if a spirit doth not have flesh and bone, then Adam was a spirit being in Genesis 1:26, 1:27.
That's the way I look at it.
All right. Now, when we go over to 2 and 7, again, like I say, and he formed a body, formed means lowlife. Now, Adam was a little lower. At the time that he was created in the image of God, he, I believe, was equal with Elohim. He was right up there with the creation of all of the angelic beings. We call Elohim in the Hebrew. And so then we've got the Lord God forming man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Now, you know, Brother Charlie, there's a very interesting aspect here. It doesn't say here in 2 and 7 that this man was Adam.
It doesn't?
No. It says, and the Lord God formed man. Now, if you look at that, that is Strong's number 120.
Right.
And of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. No. Neshama, and Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. Now, there was never no command that he was not to eat of the tree of life. But it was a choice here that man made, Eve particularly. Also in the midst of the garden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So then we've got two trees here in verse 9 of chapter 2 that depicts in the terminology department here, trees. Now, we know that if you look up the word tree in the Bible, in the Strong's, it is very interesting exactly what the tree represents. It represents the seed that is within itself for mankind, and there were several angelic beings in this tree garden as we're going into the 31st chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to find out just exactly what Ezekiel's got to say about the trees that were in the garden. We know that Lucifer, Satan, was the tallest tree in the garden,
yeah,
and he was the most beautiful. So then, we're not talking about natural trees. As everybody reads in the book of Genesis, we're trying to get people to understand that the generations of man, here verse 7 doesn't say that Adam was created. It says that man was created. This is, I believe, a separate occasion where that he is in being created, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Now notice here again in verse 16, and Yahweh, the Lord God, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now here is the catch. Now, we know that he says, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And out of the ground, notice this, out of the ground again, the dust of life, the Lord God formed every beast of the field.
Yeah.
Now we're creating in one place and forming in another. There is a difference, and the word is extraordinarily trying to give you a diversion of a diversionary difference between the two. Out of the ground, he formed the beast of the field.
What's the difference?
Well, I believe that the difference is one is a spirit being, and another is a breath of life person. In other words, it would just be a flesh being, and it would have no power within its spirit to reproduce itself after death. meaning that when it died, it would fall back to the earth, and it would just go back to the dust. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Now, Brother Charlie, exactly what do, how do you see the garden experience here? Could you expound on it just a little bit?
Well, the garden experience, getting caught on the spot here. Well, I look at the garden as being a spiritual place, and Satan came in and beguiled Eve, deceived her, and she partook of some type of sexual sin with Satan, and bore a child named Cain. And they were all thrown out of the garden for their disobedience, and Adam hung in there with Eve, despite what she did. He knew better, but he decided he'd hang it out with this woman Eve, do the best he could.
And what you're if I read you right here, you're saying that after the woman was impregnated inside the garden, whoever impregnated her. You know, it's very strange. The serpent is not heard from after this. After he gets cursed.
Yeah.
And we're going back to Genesis 3:15, where we started yesterday. Now listen to this. 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, or the Nakash, which is a angelic being, we believe, because thou hast done this, what did he do? Well, he tricked or he beguiled Eve, right?
Well, that's a physical word, I believe. Physically got to her.
Yes. And when the scriptures indicate that she did eat, the same word is 398 in the Strong's, a call, meaning that she did a call with Satan or lay with him. That choice of words is right in there. And once you get that understanding that it was a physical encounter of seed, and that she ate from this tree, her sex czar, from her very body. Now, a woman was cursed as a result of this, and the truth is that she bleeds 12 times a year if she's not pregnant. Once she gets pregnant, now notice this, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So then she bleeds in nature 12 times each year. She has a period of bleeding. She bleeds from her womb, and this is a cycle of blood shedding. It is a symbolic cycle, but we do believe that it is a psychological. We think that this woman bred into her psychological genetic character was that she would bleed 12 times a year to remind her. Now, we know that women get on a period, and they have pain and discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that is, that they said that they would rather, you know, possibly live without.
You know, I'd like to say something. It could have been, she could have bled every month and a half or 2 months, but he chose the 12 number, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes. Meaning, right. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So then, she herself is a perfect example of paying for her sins. Every woman that reaches the age of accountability to bring forth or bear children into the world. Now, notice what it says here at chapter 4, and you made the point that, and verse 24 of 3 says, and so Yahweh drove out the man and the woman, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, she had a choice there. She was never commanded not to eat of the tree of life or to partake or to engage, and we believe, to lay with the tree of life. But she chose as a type or a prototype to get Cain. Now, notice after that they're driven out of the garden, I made this point last night, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord.
Yes.
She was so deceived here. I'm walking among the angelic beings, these tall angelic beings in the garden, that she actually thought that she had been given a child from these gods.
I think maybe that she thought she actually had delivered the Messiah, Yahweh himself. I think she actually thought perhaps that she was the real deal.
Well, that's quite possible. Let me give you what it says here in the Ezekiel chapter 31, and I'm going to give you verse 3. The Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and a high stature, and his top was among the thick growths. So, actually, the waters made him great. Waters are peoples, according to the Bible, and these are coded, messages.
Right.
And the deep set him upon high. The deep set him, in other words, the mighty ones, made him or set him upon high with her rivers running around about his plants. So the serpent seed planted in the garden of the river of God, from the river of God, there were four rivers that came out of there, and we believe that they might represent four streams of genetic differences of the races here upon the earth, and we've been in that before.
Yeah.
We believe the black race is an ancient race. We believe that the yellow race is a more ancient race, and then the white race, and then you've got a combination of the two, which would give you four genetic streams coming out of this garden here.
Yeah.
And the first stream would have been the Cainite race from Adam or from Eve. And then the second stream would have been from the tree of life, let's say Yahweh. Because, you know, Brother Charlie, I have challenged men and women that are listening to our message on Truth Radio to prove the genealogy downline of Cain and Abel in Adam's genealogy. It just ain't written. It's not there. It says that Enoch was a seventh from Adam. Well, if you count from Adam to Enoch, you get seven. And if you would include Cain and Abel, it would be nine, and the scriptures would be in error. We know that the scriptures are not in error. We take it that it's correct. And so then, this would mean that the two sons that were birthed or conceived in the garden were delivered outside the garden. Can you see the symbology here of the conception of the spirit beings, one good and one bad? And then they were delivered outside the garden in a third-dimensional environment of flesh. Now, what does the scripture say? Flesh and blood shall what?
Not inherit.
Not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so then we've got these two children outside the dimension. Now, only one is permitted to return. Well, notice the difference in the intelligence or the actual fruits of the two beings. Cain brought a sacrifice that he prepared, something that he had made or grown, and brought it back to Yahweh, and Yahweh refused it. Here come Abel with a bucket of lamb's blood. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
That he brought a blood sacrifice back to the Father, and this blood sacrifice, surprisingly, I guess maybe for a lot of people, it was accepted, because Abel had a revelation of what his mother had done. Remember, she bleeds. She started bleeding 12 times a year until she got pregnant. Now, when she got pregnant, the blood stopped. You see that? Then she brought forth death. There was no covering to cover her offspring. It had been cursed. In Genesis 3:15, said, and he cursed the serpent and his seed. So the serpent has a seed upon the earth, a real flesh and blood offspring from the woman, and now that makes association. Well, we get into the scriptures of the terrible battles that were fought down through the history of the Bible here to indicate that there was an attempt by Satan to get his children under the blessing hand of the prophets, the patriarchs, or Yahweh himself. And that Yahweh had to use, at times, deceit. He had to lie. He had his sons to lie to keep the bloodline pure. For instance, Rachel and Isaac brought forth Jacob, and they brought forth Esau. And they wrestled in the womb for supremacy, for which one was to be coming out of the womb. And then the Bible says that the hairy Esau, the red Edomite, we believe,
yes,
he came out. Well, there was no kindred blood association back to Isaac. Although Isaac favored Esau in the flesh, the Bible said flesh and blood profits nothing. So you can be strong, you can be agile, you can be a great hunter as Esau was, and you can be a man's man and still not have the spiritual revelation, say that little frail Jacob had. Jacob was chosen because he had the covenant blessing, and it was in the will of the Father for the deception to Isaac. When that Isaac and Rebekah looked at their children, the Bible said that Esau went out and married into the Canaanite family.
Yes, they sure did, right.
And the Bible says this surely displeased the parents.
In the book of Hebrews, they call him a fornicator.
A fornicator. Meaning he race mixed.
Yes.
He went to a different bloodline, and there he partaked and mixed his blood with a Canaanite. This is forbidden. It's just strictly talked about. And Brother Charlie, here's where all the mystery of the Bible lays. If we solve this mystery, I know it sounds strange to the bell box. They're not going to receive it. The Judeo-Christian world, I said last night, it would scare them to death if Pastor Buddy was to come to their church and preach this message and give them something to eat on, chew on, some meat, because they have been spoon-fed with milk and have become unskillful in the Word of God. It says, notice this, the cedars in the garden of God. Now, what's the cedars? Cedar is an evergreen. These are the ever-living ones. Satan can't die. He's an eternal being. Even Yahweh himself cannot kill, quote-unquote, Satan, because he is a spirit creation, because he's been given life. Now, he can be punished forever and ever, and he can be restricted forever and ever. But here, these gods, if you will, these Elohim, says the cedars of God could not hide him. The fir trees, again, the evergreens, were not like his boughs. And his chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. Now notice this one, verse 9. And I made him fair by the multitude of his branches. Multitude of his branches. Branch means extending away from the tree.
Yeah.
The root and the tree and its branches. Well, Christ said that I am the vine and you are the branches. So here Satan is beginning to bring forth seed. And you notice
what... I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, you notice, Charlie, in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, it said that these Canaanites, these serpent seed, we believe seed of the serpent, that they become mighty city builders. And
yeah,
they built the first city actually upon the earth.
They were pretty prosperous people.
Very prosperous.
They were first in the metals and music.
Music, metals.
And they're still in the music too today.
You got it. Now notice this also, that it says in the text here that the trees of the garden of God, there was none like his beauty. Well, we're coming down to the bottom there, Brother Charlie. Glad to have you sitting in here with me tonight.
Praise
Yahweh. And we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 minutes with the rest of the Shepherd's Call. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here with us tonight. Joining me tonight is a special guest that I've got that is visiting from the great state of North Dakota. Brother Charlie and myself are sitting in here. We're live. This is the fourth day, I believe it is, Charlie, of the month of June, and the time's moving right along. So we're live and directing out on Truth Radio. Glad to have you in here with us. We're in a very controversial subject tonight, and we intend to dig a little bit deeper into the Word. Brother Charlie, we're in the 31st chapter, notice this, of the book of Ezekiel, and notice verse 7. Thus he, the one that it's been talked about here, the one that is the tallest tree in the Garden of Eden, he was fair in his greatness and the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. Now, it sounds like to me that this seed line, the Cainite seed line, began to branch or to multiply, and that this great explosion of a population, they become city builders. Now,
right.
You don't have a lot of people here to build a city.
Yes, you do.
The cedars in the garden of God, it says, could not hide him. And the fir trees were not like his boughs, and his chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any other tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. We're definitely talking about the beautiful, shining one, Satan. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches. Made him fair by the multitude. In other words, he was producing offspring here. So that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him.
Yes.
Now that's Strong's number 7065, meaning that they wanted to, the word means, envied means that they wanted to partake or to participate or to be like this one that was bringing forth seed in his own likeness. Of course, we know that then the earth become very corrupt, as then one-third of these trees in the garden, they begin to envy Satan's seed, and they begin to bring forth seed of their own. And Charlie, there is legend after legend after legend in the earth written in the earth tablets, written, coded language that is expressed that these mighty ones came down from heaven, these superior ones we call Elohim angels, and they actually took wives of the earth daughters and offspring, and they began to have seed themselves. And so the earth, in Genesis chapter 6, it says it was full of violence. And nothing here. Now, what's so wrong about Charlie? What is so wrong if we go back to Genesis 6 for just a moment? Let me go back here and read it, and I'll let you talk a little bit about it if you'd like to. In the sixth chapter, notice now, the fifth chapter is Adam's family record. Then evil men begins to rule over man in the sixth chapter. I mean, just as soon as we get established, Adam's offspring, because yep. In the fourth chapter, we establish here again, notice this. Now, notice in chapter 4, after he's driven out, he said, "Thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me." Cain was actually a very intelligent being.
Yes, he was sharp as a tack. Yeah, he was the person, we already went over it. He was the first in the music and metallurgy, or weapons and warfare, what that means. And he was one of the first husbandry men. Notice he wasn't a farmer, though. He wasn't a farmer, and they aren't farmers today.
That's right. And going into some of the others here, Charlie, and Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Very strange now that Cain's seed begins to name their sons in the likeness of Adam's sons.
They sure do. So many of those names are right after Adam's sons.
Here it says, and Enoch built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch.
Yes.
So there was a city, and we believe, according to legend and tradition of teachings, that some of the lost books will indicate that this city here was actually the city of Nimrod, the one that Nimrod built and controlled, and it was actually the first evil city of Babylon. And they learned their lesson well. They learned how to control the very few of them that they are. They have learned to control the earth's population through subtle means and through superior intelligence. Could I say that word and be justified? The Bible says that be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But it also says that the children of darkness are wiser and the children of light. So, Charlie, we've got a major problem here to confront us. If we don't grow up and get some knowledge and get in these Bibles and search and pray and seek the Father's face and be honest with the Scriptures.
Well, I believe these serpent seed, they're more intelligent than we are, and Yahweh has given us a book to follow, and that's the only way we're going to defeat them. And until we obey His word, we're going to be destroyed.
I agree with that. And that, isn't that Satan's job? Now, the Bible says if you make a tree good, the fruit will be good. In other words, the offspring. And like I say, Charlie, if I was to trace your family tree, I surely wouldn't go out and look at your apple tree.
That's right.
I'm looking at your genetic offspring here. So even the rule of the word of your family tree would suggest that we're looking about flesh and blood offspring from the root system of the sons that are born. Now, the Bible says that if you make the tree good, the fruit will be good, and if you make the tree corrupt, in other words, if it's a corrupt tree, well, why did the Father curse the serpent, and it said his seed? How did the serpent get a seed if he didn't get it through Eve?
I really don't know.
Well, notice this here. And it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. So Genesis 3:15 locks up a very, very detailed aspect of this knowledge that there were two seeds delivered outside the garden.
Yes, that's right. Okay. There certainly were two seeds.
Two seeds.
I misunderstood your question.
Okay. Yes. Well, if there were two seeds, now think about this. If there were two seeds, they were delivered, they were conceived in the garden. We know that. She was pregnant with two seeds. Well, it says here that verse 1, where she said, I have gotten a man, she conceived and bare Cain. But verse 2, and she again bare his brother, didn't say she conceived again to get him. So I believe that these were fraternal twins with two different fathers. Now, we know that I believe that there is scientific proof that this can happen, that two different men can lay with one woman and each can bring a seed from her womb on a nine-month cycle. She can have twins. She could have triplets for that matter.
I read an account of that.
Okay. That it is common. It is very common. So then, let's say here that she was pregnant in the garden with the serpent, Satan. And forget the serpent, the Nakash. Now, the Nakash was an evil being. He wasn't evil at that time, Charlie, because the Bible said he was perfect until iniquity was found within him. And the iniquity was when Christ, the offspring here, when Almighty Yahweh, when he came in to check what had happened, she, as you said, she believed that she had actually gotten a man, which would have been the Christ child, the perfect seed, to bring forth or to live eternally. And in that's how she got deceived. She actually had the seed of death in her womb.
Yes.
And so Yahweh cursed the seed inside the garden, meaning that flesh and blood can never return back to the spiritual environment. And only the sons of Yah, now let's talk about the sons of Yah, does the Bible say that the son of Yahweh was slain from the foundation of the world?
Yes.
Okay, then if it says that, then who was that? It was Abel. Now, does it say that Adam, in the genealogy, that if you can trace back that Adam was the son of Yahweh? It says he was. Is it not? Adam was the son of Yahweh in the book of Luke, that he was the son of Yahweh. So now we've got two sons from Yahweh and one from Satan. Now, here's the battle. The battle is that the evil one slayed the righteous one. Now, let's go over to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, and read what it says here. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Cain was the offspring of an evil tree, and here it is. He was the tallest. This was the most beautiful tree. Satan was the most fairest. Now, it describes Yahweh. When we see him, we wouldn't desire him. Nobody would want him, but Eve was taken by the beauty of this giant specimen. He was a hawk. You know, women are fooled by looks.
They sure are, and this was the greatest creation ever created, this Satan, this serpent. Best-looking thing ever come down the block at the time.
That's exactly right. Well, now, notice here, as we said, then the other trees of the garden envied him. And what did they end it? They ended his, they looked around and said, my, look at Satan's sons. They're building cities. They're multiplying. Their roots run by the deep waters. And, you know, we could do that. Look what's happening here. Why are we going to be left out? And so it came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, in other words, the offspring, that the sons of God. Now, I'm going to stop right there, Charlie, and I'm going to examine the words here. Sons of God is an English translation. It's not in the Hebrew. What is in the Hebrew is the Nephilim, or the Elohim, the angels that were in the garden. And when the angels, and people say, well, angels can't get a woman pregnant. Glory to God. There's no scientific evidence that says that they can't. Well, listen here. And the sons of God, Strong's number 430, which is Elohim, and the Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is of flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, notice the offspring here. This is Strong's number 5303, which is Nephilim, and there were offspring giants in the English, Nephilim in the Hebrew, in the earth in those days. In other words, the offspring was a union between angelic beings and earthly women that produced after that when the sons of God, or Elohim, came into the daughters of man and bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were old and were of men renowned. Now, of old.
One of the words I can think of right now is confusion. Satan is a very confusing person. He tends to want to get infused over all this stuff.
And he the author of confusion?
I believe he is.
That's right. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. Now, let me ask you a question. If the tree's good, then the thoughts would be good.
That's correct.
If the tree is evil, the fruit's going to be evil. And here it says, their thoughts were continuously evil because they were producing byproducts with unauthorized seed time. Now, let's go back and talk about that a minute. Charlie, you are a farmer, and you know that that a red bird won't produce with a blue jay. And birds in the species all respect their kind. They won't breed out of their kind. We know that.
We know that.
And anytime a crossbreeding occurs, it produces what we call a sterile, if you will, a hybrid.
Yeah, and they don't make it. They don't make it but one generation, and then they're done.
That's just exactly my point. Now, if the breath of life people in the garden were not original seed, they were offspring of the serpent with a curse on it, meaning it had to die, couldn't enter back in unless it was authorized by Almighty Yahweh, then these are the breath of life people that will only make it to the time of generation when they drop dead. They don't reproduce. And so Satan's job is to keep the ones present upon the earth in that original offspring, to keep them breeding. Now, I believe that they are continuously looking for ways to breed out the curse of Genesis 3:14. Where he cursed.
Well, they're sure working on genetics awful hard nowadays, trying to do everything they can with that DNA double helix, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to achieve the tree of life through genetics right now. That's what I think.
Well, I believe that. I really do. And of course, they're hard at work and trying to crossbreed certain species to get the proper take that I believe. To relieve the curse that was put on the offspring. You see, now, he didn't so much as curse the serpent, he cursed his seed. So, the earth now was cursed for mankind. In other words, Adam had the earth cursed because he hearkened unto the voice of his wife. And as you said, Adam, loving her with all his heart, chose to leave the inner dimension, the fifth dimension, pure spirit plane, and come to a flesh and blood environment where he could never return to the heavens unless he gained merited favor so much with the Father and gain a blood covenant. Now, that's why that the blood was presented by Abel. This was a type of the offering of the Son of God. Only the Son of God. No other could offer to God an offering unless it was from his own genetic offspring. Therefore, the Son of God was slain from the foundation of the world, proving, I believe, that the second son conceived in the garden was Christ, or a type of Christ, the Son of the living God, and the evil son slayed the righteous son, and the Bible said he slayed him because his deeds were evil and Abel's was good. So you have two different trees in the garden. Number one, you have the tree of life. Number two, you have the tree of death. So then we have a seed from the tree of death, and we have a seed from the tree of life. And therein begins the great battle. It's a monumental battle, Charlie. It's now going on today. And you know yourself that we, as a seed line of Jacob Israel, the covenant people, are losing the battle with the seed output.
Yeah, we're not doing real well right now, and it's because of our rebellion, and nobody wants to obey.
But here in Genesis 6:6, it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart." It grieved him in his heart. Now, verse 9 of Genesis 6 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, we have three sons that were begotten by Noah. We have the first son is Shem, second son Ham, and Japheth is the third son. Now, we got three sons from the offspring of Noah, and the Bible said he was righteous in his genetics.
Well, that means that his boy was too, I believe.
Oh, of course. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, I want to ask you a question, Charlie. You've been around. You've traveled, as I have. Would you say, truthfully, with your understanding of what's going on in the earth today, that we're living in a corrupt earth full of violence?
I believe that's right. Don't break down on the wrong exit ramp on one of these interstates, or don't do that. Everybody's trying to lie and steal and cheat and steal from their relatives, and they're into race mixing or hybridizing their offspring. It's very corrupt. It's we don't have much longer, I don't believe.
So you're saying the hybridizing part that we were referring to a while ago with the animal species, which is an indicator of the human species. If you take a donkey, and breed it to a mare, which is a horse, you get a mule, correct?
That's correct.
And a mule is a hybrid.
That's correct.
It can't reproduce itself. So that only that mule lives its lifetime and dies and goes back to the flesh. The flesh goes back to the dust.
That's correct.
All right. If that is an indicator of hybrid, then Satan produced a hybrid seed in the garden that had to die and return to the dust. Now, the Son of God, slain from the foundation of the world, become a type of the eternal beings that would raise up after that through Christ, a seed born not of the will of man or the blood of man, but of the will of God, able to enter back in through the authorization of the blood covering of Almighty God for the sons of Yah, as they are now coming back to him. In the last days, Charlie, we see a great turnaround. You know, we just got out of Passover, and Charlie, you were one of those that were at Passover, and you were one of those that came all the way down from the hills of North Dakota, and you were baptized in the great name. Give us a little testimony about your baptism.
Well, I had been studying Scripture for some time, and I determined that I needed to be baptized in the name of Yahweh, not in the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost or Jesus or anybody else. I determined I need to be baptized in the name above every other name, which is Yahweh. And I made a long trip down here to find a man who was authorized to baptize me, praise Yahweh. And I got into that cold water as quick as I could, praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. You most certainly did, along with six others, I might add. There were seven in total of our great feast and fellowship in Andrews, North Carolina. Well, you listen to Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy, and sitting in with me tonight, my honored guest, Brother Charlie here from North Dakota. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write to Shepherd's Call tonight, simply address your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight on the phone, Charlie, and I would be glad to take your calls coming in here tonight. If you'd like to call, simply dial area code 423-626-2172. We bring some controversial messages and doctrines into the text only for one reason, not to be controversial, but to bring you truth that probably you've never heard before in your life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I see that our time is coming down. You're not, Brother Charlie, thank you for sitting in with me tonight.
Well,
I enjoyed
you
sitting in and riding shotgun with me tonight in the Word of Yahweh. The Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so we've established the Word tonight beyond all shadow of a doubt that there's two seeds in the earth.
There
one
is
the seed of life and the other is the seed of death. Until tomorrow night, this is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you live on Truth Radio. Yahweh bless.
Praise Yahweh.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.